Now let's turn to the first full chapter of Wealth of Nations. It's a real stunner, and it's called simply Of the Division of Labor. Throughout these videos, I'm going to try to keep the direct reading of quotations to a bare minimum, but this is really the very beginning of Wealth of Nations, and as a quotation it's very important. So here goes, it's what starts off the book. Quote, "The greatest improvement in the productive powers of labor, and the greater part of the skill, dexterity, and judgment, with which it is anywhere directed or applied, seem to have been the effects of the division of labor." Smith rapidly makes this concrete by giving the example of a pin factory, where of course pins are being produced. He stresses just how much this work is divided up into different branches or operations, and that no one person could come close to doing all of that work themselves. It's not just a matter of the one person not having enough time to do all those different tasks, but there are more fundamental factors operating. Smith gives three main reasons why the division of labor leads to greater productivity. The first is simply an increase of dexterity or learning in performing a particular operation. The second is the saving of time in passing from one task to another. A worker who is specializing can concentrate on one task without having to incur those switching costs. Finally, the most dynamic effect, and perhaps even the most important, is that the focused worker is more likely to invent and innovate and come up with new and better ways of performing the task. In a nutshell, we have the beginnings of a theory of productivity and ultimately also a theory of economic growth. By the way, Smith believed that agriculture over time would benefit less from the division of labor than would manufacturing, because he thought agricultural productivity would benefit less from this division of tasks. This will turn out to matter a lot for Smith's theory of economic growth, which will have a critical role for towns and cities and also manufacturing. Smith closes this chapter with a quite fantastic example about a woolen coat. A woolen coat may appear to be a fairly simple commodity, yet Smith points out just how many distinct laborers stand behind the production of the woolen coat. It's the shepherd, the person who sorts the wool, the person who combs the wool, the dyer of the wool, the spinner, the weaver, and so on. But it's not just the individuals directly involved with the sheep or the wool, but it involves a network of trade from all around the world. So, for instance, the dyes used to give the wool color, they come from what Smith calls the remotest corners of the world, and that requires merchants and carriers and seamen and commerce and arts of navigation, which is going to bring into play shipbuilders and sailors and rope makers and many other workers. It's here that we see some key themes in Smith coming together, namely division of labor, market exchange, and coordination of market activities. These are all going to play a significant role in the rest of the book.